Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I'd love to chat today about another obscure topic, which is really all that we actually do is talk about obscure topics on this podcast. I mentioned recently there was a mold situation going on in a dwelling that I lived in, and I went looking at of course, on Google, how do you clean mold, whatever. And it recommended if you're short visits, a KN95, which most of us remember from the COVID era. And for more significant, if you're going to be in a room for a longer period of time, to wear a proper respirator. And it had very specific recommendations for the respirator. It was a specific type and it was a specific filter type by 3M. And I remember that from when I was looking at COVID, we were kind of panicked at the start. I mentioned that I have asthma, and until it was clear that asthmatics weren't majorly at elevated risk, I was kind of terrified of the scary breathing disease. So I went out, of course, and got a respirator, and it was a different one. It was what was interesting was I was asking ChatGPT, well, could I just use this one? And it said, no, that would be totally useless. So it's interesting that the different type of respirators, another time I think about these is when we have forest fires in Israel, usually in the summers, and you'll see in the media, the firefighters, and I wonder, how do those guys protect their breathing when you're up close? And they're wearing, the biggest of the biggest respirators, and I presume there's something very specific as well for smoke inhalation. So what I'd love to know about Herman and Corin is the different types. If someone is, let's say, doing, it looks like something from a horror movie, these half-mask respirators, right? They're big. You're not going to be walking down to the supermarket in one of these things. But there might be cases why it's useful to potentially have one, especially if you have a respiratory condition like asthma or something else. And what are all these different types of refills from 3M? If one wanted to buy one for, let's say you were doing, for example, soldering, or, you were doing some kind of work with wood, or you had, for some reason, you did have this a mold problem in your house and you had to be in a room with one. So it doesn't seem like you're going to have a whole collection of these. Is it just the case that you buy one and then you buy the different filters? And what are the main ones that that one might wish to have? And I'd love to know as well about that question I asked about the firefighters, because I really feel for them. Every time there's firefighters, my asthma flares up. And I'm just a guy sitting in a house very far from the front lines, but it still triggers my breathing. So I'm kind of in awe and grateful to people on the front line. But I do wonder every time how they protect their breathing from these much more significant exposures. Herman and Corin, let's talk about respirators and breathing protection and what the different filters from 3M actually are.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and today we are diving into something that is literally a matter of life and breath.
And I am Herman Poppleberry, ready to talk about the unsung heroes of the workshop and the disaster zone. You know, it is funny, our housemate Daniel was just asking about this because he had a bit of a mold situation recently. He was looking at 3M respirators and realized it is a bit of a labyrinth of codes, colors, and cartridges.
It really is. I think most people think of a mask as just a piece of fabric or a plastic cup on your face. But once you get into the professional grade stuff, it becomes an engineering challenge. Daniel was specifically curious if you can just buy one respirator and swap out filters for things like woodworking, soldering, or even forest fire smoke.
The short answer is yes, and that is actually the brilliance of the system. But the long answer involves understanding what you are actually trying to keep out of your lungs. Most people do not realize that there is a massive difference between a particle and a gas.
Right. And that seems like the perfect place to start. If I am in the workshop and I am sanding down a piece of oak, that is a physical particle. But if I am painting that same oak with a solvent-based stain, that is a vapor. A piece of fabric might stop the sawdust, but it is not going to do anything for the chemical fumes, right?
Exactly. Think of it like a fishing net. A net with 1-inch holes will catch a big fish, but the water goes right through. To catch the water, or the chemical vapors, you need a different mechanism entirely. In the world of 3M respirators, you generally have two main components, the face piece and the filters or cartridges. The face piece is the rubber or silicone part that actually seals to your face. The most common ones are the 6000 series or the 7500 series.
I have seen those. They look like something out of a sci-fi movie. The 7500 is the blue one, right? I have heard it is a bit more comfortable because it uses a softer silicone.
It really is. If you are going to be wearing it for 4 hours while remediating mold or sanding a deck, that silicone makes a huge difference. It does not dig into your nose bridge as much. But back to Daniel's question, the facepiece has these bayonet-style mounts on the sides. You just twist on whatever filter you need for the job. It is a universal system for their professional line.
Okay, so let's break down the scenarios Daniel mentioned. Let's start with woodworking, because that is probably the most common use case for a lot of our listeners. If I'm just dealing with sawdust, what am I looking for?
For woodworking, you are primarily worried about particulates. You want a P100 filter. Now, listeners might see ratings like N95, N99, or P100. The letter tells you about oil resistance. N means not resistant to oil. R means somewhat resistant. P means oil proof.
Why does oil matter for a woodworker?
In a wood shop, it might not matter much unless you are using oil-based finishes or air tool lubricants are in the air. But the number is the efficiency. An N95 filters 95% of particles. A P100 filters 99.97%. For fine sawdust, especially from hardwoods like walnut or oak, which can actually be carcinogenic over long periods, you want that P100. 3M makes these little pink pancakes, the 2091 filters, that are perfect for this. They are light and they do not get in the way.
Those pink ones are iconic. But what if I move from sanding to something like mold remediation? Daniel was looking at that specifically. Mold spores are tiny, but there is also a smell, right? That damp, musty odor. Does a pink pancake filter handle that?
Not really. A standard P100 filter will stop the mold spores themselves because they are physical particles. But that musty smell? Those are microbial volatile organic compounds, or MVOCs. To stop those, you need activated carbon. 3M makes a version of that pink filter called the 2097. It is still a P100, so it stops the spores, but it has a thin layer of carbon to handle what they call nuisance level, organic vapors.
Nuisance level sounds like a very technical way of saying it smells bad but won't kill you immediately.
Precisely. But if you are doing serious mold remediation, or you are spraying heavy-duty bleach or antimicrobial chemicals, you need to step up to a full organic vapor cartridge. Those are the big plastic ones, usually color-coded yellow or olive green.
This is where it gets complicated. I remember seeing a chart once with about 10 different colors. Black, white, yellow, green, pink. It felt like I needed a degree in chemistry just to go to the hardware store.
It can be overwhelming. But for most of our listeners, there are only a few you really need to know. Black is for organic vapors. Think paint thinner, gasoline, or most spray paints. Yellow is for acid gases like sulfur dioxide or chlorine. If you are working with heavy-duty pool chemicals or certain industrial cleaners, you want yellow.
What about soldering? Daniel mentioned that too. I do a bit of electronics work myself, and I always wonder about that little wisp of smoke that comes off the rosin core.
Soldering is a tricky one. Most hobbyist solder is lead-free these days, but the flux inside the solder creates a smoke that contains things like abiotic acid. If you are using leaded solder, you also have the concern of lead fumes, though the tip temperature usually is not high enough to vaporize lead. Still, you do not want to breathe any of it. For soldering, you want a combination. You want a P100 for the physical smoke particles and an organic vapor component for the flux fumes.
So would that be one of those multi-gas cartridges?
Usually, the olive green ones, the 6006 cartridges, are the multi-gas and vapor solution. They are the all-in-one for people who do not want to guess. They cover organic vapors, acid gases, ammonia, and methylamine. If you pop a P100 pre-filter on top of an olive green cartridge, you are basically protected against almost everything a hobbyist would encounter.
That sounds like a lot of weight on your face, though. Those cartridges are not exactly light.
They are not. That is the trade-off. The more you want to filter, the heavier the mass gets and the harder it is to breathe through. It takes more lung effort to pull air through a thick bed of activated carbon than it does through a simple cloth mask.
I think that is an important point. If someone has a respiratory condition, they should probably talk to a doctor before strapping on a heavy-duty respirator, right?
Absolutely. In a professional setting, people have to get a medical evaluation before they are cleared to wear one. It puts a strain on the heart and lungs. If you are healthy, it is usually fine, but you will definitely feel the resistance.
Let's talk about a topic that is unfortunately very relevant for us here, and for many people around the world, forest fires. When the air gets that orange haze and everything smells like a campfire, what is the best protection? Daniel was asking if a respirator is overkill for that.
It is definitely not overkill if the air quality index gets into the purple zone. Wildfire smoke is a complex cocktail. It is mostly fine particulate matter, what they call PM2.5. Those are particles smaller than 2.5 microns that can get deep into your lungs and even enter your bloodstream. For that, a P100 or even a well-fitted N95 is a godsend.
But what about the smell? When the smoke is thick, it is not just the ash. It is that acrid chemical smell because houses or cars might be burning too.
Exactly. That is where a simple N95 falls short. Wildfire smoke contains volatile organic compounds like benzene and formaldehyde. If you are just trying to get from your car to your office, an N95 is okay, but if you have to be outside for hours, you really want an organic vapor cartridge with a P100 particulate filter. The 609026 is the gold standard here. It is a pink-capped olive cartridge that does everything in one unit.
I remember in episode 247, when we talked about digital preparedness and power stations, we touched on how environmental factors are becoming a bigger part of our kit. It feels like having a good respirator in the house is becoming as basic as having a flashlight.
I agree. But there is a huge caveat with wildfire smoke and respirators. A lot of people buy these masks and think they are invincible, but these masks do not filter out carbon monoxide.
Wait, really? I think most people assume a gas mask handles everything.
That is a dangerous misconception. Carbon monoxide is a tiny molecule. Standard charcoal filters in these respirators cannot trap it. To handle carbon monoxide, you need a specialized catalyst or a supplied air system. This leads perfectly into Daniel's question about what firefighters use.
Right, because they are going into the thickest smoke imaginable. They obviously aren't just wearing a rubber mask with a pink filter on the side.
No way. Structural firefighters use what is called an SCBA, which stands for self-contained breathing apparatus. It is essentially a scuba tank for the land. They are not filtering the air around them at all. They are carrying their own clean air in a high-pressure cylinder on their back.
Why is that necessary? Is the smoke just too thick for a filter?
It is twofold. First, the concentration of toxins is so high that a filter would clog or saturate in minutes. Second, and more importantly, fire consumes oxygen. In a burning building, the oxygen level can drop below what is necessary to sustain life. You can have the best filter in the world, but if there is no oxygen in the air you are filtering, you are still going to suffocate.
That makes total sense. But what about wildland firefighters? The ones out in the woods? They are not carrying heavy tanks on their backs while hiking up mountains, are they?
That is a really interesting area of debate in the fire service right now. For a long time, wildland firefighters just wore bandanas. Then they moved to specialized shrouds. Some use what are called escape respirators or specialized wildland masks like the 3M7500 with a combination of a P100 filter and a charcoal layer. But even then, they have to be very careful about carbon monoxide and oxygen levels. They generally rely on staying in areas where the smoke is diluted enough that a filter can handle it.
So, if you were a civilian, and you were dealing with wildfire smoke at home, a 3mm respirator with an organic vapor and P100 combo is about the best you can do without carrying an air tank.
Exactly. It will significantly reduce your exposure to the harmful particulates and the most common gases, but you still should not be out there doing a marathon in it.
Let's talk about the fitted part of this. I have seen people wearing these masks over big bushy beards. Does that actually work?
Oh, Korn, you are touching on a sore spot for safety professionals everywhere. The answer is a hard no. If you have a beard, the respirator cannot form a seal against your skin. The air will always take the path of least resistance, which means it will leak in through the gaps in your facial hair rather than going through the filter.
So, if you want the protection, you have to shave.
Or at least trim it down to a soul patch or a very neat mustache that stays inside the mask seal area. Professional firefighters are notoriously clean-shaven for this exact reason. If you have a beard and you absolutely cannot shave it, you have to move to a completely different type of system called a PAPR, or Powered Air Purifying Respirator. That is a hood that goes over your head and blows filtered air down over your face.
Those look like a hazmat suit.
They are great because there is no breathing resistance. The motor does the work, but they are very expensive. For someone like Daniel or most of our listeners, the key is a good fit test.
How do you do that at home? I know in professional settings they use that bitter-smelling spray to see if you can taste it through the mask.
You can do a basic user seal check. Put the mask on, cover the filters with your palms, and inhale. The mask should collapse slightly toward your face and stay there. If you feel air rushing in around your nose or chin, it is not sealed. Then you do the opposite, cover the exhalation valve, and exhale. The mask should puff out but not leak.
That seems simple enough. What about the lifespan of these things? If Daniel buys a set of organic vapor cartridges for his mold project, and he finishes, can he put them in a drawer and use them again next year if there is a wildfire?
This is another huge thing people get wrong. Particulate filters, like the pink ones, last until they get physically clogged and it becomes hard to breathe. You can use them for a long time. But chemical cartridges? They have a shelf life. Once you open the plastic packaging, the activated carbon starts absorbing things from the air, even if you are not wearing the mask.
So they are dying, even while they sit on the shelf.
Exactly. If you leave them out on your workbench, they will be useless in a few weeks or months, depending on the humidity and air quality. The pro tip is to take the cartridges off the mask when you are done and seal them in a high-quality Ziploc bag. Squeeze all the air out. That will extend their life significantly, but even then, most manufacturers recommend replacing them after 6 months to a year once opened.
That is really good to know. I think I have some old ones in the garage that are probably just paperweights at this point.
Probably. And if you ever smell the chemical you are supposed to be filtering, like if you are painting and you suddenly smell paint thinner, the cartridge is spent, it is called breakthrough, and it means the carbon is fully saturated. You need to leave the area and change the filters immediately.
We have covered a lot here. Woodworking needs P100. Mold needs P100 plus, maybe some carbon for the smell. Soldering needs a combo. Wildfires need a serious particulate and gas combo. And firefighters are basically astronauts with tanks.
It is a lot to take in, but once you understand the one mask, many filters, philosophy, it becomes much less intimidating. It is really about matching the filter to the hazard. I think it is also worth mentioning that these masks need maintenance. You should wash the rubber face piece with warm water and mild soap after every use. Sweat and skin oils can degrade the silicone over time.
I can imagine they get pretty gross inside after a long day of work.
They do, especially in a climate like ours in Jerusalem where it gets hot. You do not want a science experiment growing inside your mask while you are trying to filter out mold spores.
Good point. I am curious about the nuisance level filters again. 3M has these ones that look like the pink pancakes but have an extra layer. Are those a good middle ground for someone who does not want the bulk of the big plastic cartridges?
They are great for things like light soldering or working with old dusty books that might have a slight musty smell. They are much more comfortable than the big cartridges, but they are not for heavy-duty chemicals. If you are using a stripper to take paint off a door, those nuisance-level filters are not enough. You need the full black-coated organic vapor cartridges.
It really comes down to the concentration of the stuff in the air.
Exactly. And the duration. If you are doing something for 5 minutes, you might get away with less. But if you are doing it for 8 hours, you want the best protection possible.
What about the eye protection aspect? Daniel asked about 3M respirators, but most of what we've talked about are the half-face ones. Does mold or smoke affect your eyes?
Oh, definitely. Mold spores can cause conjunctivitis or allergic reactions in the eyes. And wildfire smoke is notorious for causing eye irritation. If you are in a really bad environment, you might want to look at a full-face respirator. 3M makes the 6800 series full-face mask. It uses the same filters but protects your whole face.
Does that make it harder to see?
Not really, the lenses are usually very high quality, but it does get hot in there. The benefit is that it provides a much better seal because it seals around your whole face rather than just your nose and mouth. For serious mold remediation in a crawl space, a full face mask is often the standard.
I think that is a level of weirdness. Even Daniel might hesitate at, but it is good to know the option exists.
Hey, if you are under a house and there is mold dripping from the floor joists, you will be very glad you have a piece of plastic between your eyes and those spores.
Fair enough. Before we wrap up, I want to go back to the wildfire smoke thing one more time. We see a lot of people wearing those blue surgical masks during fire season. I assume those are basically useless for smoke.
They are almost entirely useless for smoke. They are designed to stop large droplets from the wearer's mouth from getting out. They do not seal to the face, so the smoke just goes right around the edges. Even an N95 mask with those little ear loops, the kind people use during the pandemic, often does not seal well enough for heavy smoke. The professional respirators with the two head straps are much, much better.
It is all about the seal.
It always is. A $1 million filter is worthless if the air can just bypass it.
Well, this has been a surprisingly deep dive into something I usually don't think about until I am coughing. Herman, I think you have given Daniel and our listeners a lot to chew on.
I hope so. It is one of those things where a little knowledge goes a long way. You don't need every filter in the catalog, just the 3 or 4 that match your life.
Exactly. And hey, if you've been listening to my weird prompts for a while, and you are finding these deep dives helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. It genuinely helps the show reach more people who might be wondering what filter to use for their moldy basement.
It really does. We love seeing the feedback, and if you have your own weird prompts, you can always head over to myweirdprompts.com and use the contact form to get in touch.
We are also on Spotify, so you can follow us there to get every new episode as it drops. This has been episode 250 of My Weird Prompts.
Thanks to Daniel for sending this one in. It was a breath of fresh air, literally.
Terrible pun, Herman, but accurate.
I try.
All right, everyone. Stay safe, breathe easy, and we will talk to you next week.
Until next time.
So, Herman, just between us, have you ever actually worn the full face mask around the house just to see what it's like?
I might have worn it while chopping onions once.
And?
It worked perfectly. Not a single tear. Though Daniel did walk into the kitchen and nearly had a heart attack.
I can imagine. Herman Poppleberry, the onion-proof donkey.
It's a niche market, Corn. A niche market.
Truly. All right, let's get out of here.
Goodbye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.